Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
G20 meeting in Indonesia. The headlines from Reuters tell the story. Wrangling over Ukraine war dominates summit of G20 major economies. The first paragraph, a Western-led push to condemn Russia's invasion of Ukraine, dominated Group of 20 summit in the Indonesian island of Bali, where leaders of major economies grappled with a dizzying array of issues, from hunger to nuclear threats. I welcome Mary Kissel, Executive Vice President, Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State. Diplomacy, G20, transnational meetings, that's Mary's work. And so we go immediately to this idea that the G20 is advancing concerns, not starting with Russia, because wrangling is always exciting, but starting with the quiet write-up of the handshake between the General Secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, Xi Jinping, and the President of the United States. Mary, Wall Street is putting a great deal in that handshake. There's a momentary smile on Wall Street's face that maybe China and the U.S. can start to work together again after this confrontation over Taiwan and over trade. Do you measure that handshake as significant? Good evening to you.
Good evening to you, John. I think Wall Street celebrates any hint that there may be a decrease in the tensions between the United States and China, or really it's more accurate to say between the free world and China. And Xi and Biden had 3 hours of talks. It's good to maintain open lines of communication. I don't think you need 3 hours here, because the Chinese side has shown absolutely no willingness to ameliorate some of its many bad actions. I think a lot of the discussions focused around issues that matter to President Biden domestically here in the United States, in particular surrounding climate. He came out of those talks with a headline that the United States and China would resume climate discussions. This, of course, is completely meaningless, because China builds, a new dirty coal plant practically every week, is the world's biggest polluter of the skies and of water, is desecrating fish supplies with illegal fishing off the coast of South America, and in other parts of the world. So it's just silly to believe that these talks, just because these two leaders sat down for a period of time, signal a willingness to change on the Chinese side. And that's really what matters here, because the United States has been very happy to talk for 40 years and has opened up our hand and put it out. And Beijing simply continues to press forward with its program of militarization, of strengthening of its domestic economy, largely with our intellectual property, and to become ever more aggressive, not just towards its people, but towards its near abroad and towards us. So I think it was unfortunate to show such weakness on the U.S. side. There are those who would say that doesn't matter, or it doesn't matter what's said. But I think it actually does matter what's said, because it's a signal not just to the Chinese leadership, but to other leaders around the world in terms of how serious the U.S. is about pushing back on bad behavior, be it in China or elsewhere. So I don't think it was a good outcome for the United States.
We march to the sound of threatening military gestures, and that would be the People's Republic of China over these last months, told again and again that the reason China responded so belligerently was because of the visit of the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, to Taipei, Taiwan. We're also told that if there is a new leader in the House of Representatives, and if it is Mr. McCarthy, he intends to visit Taipei, Taiwan as well. So, Mary, I want to start with the Taiwan controversy. Mr. Biden has been very clear that he will defend. Now and again, there are other remarks, but he has said that repeatedly. Japan has said it will defend. Australia is not outside of this. In fact, all of the neighborhood is not outside of participating in some fashion if there is to be conflict in the South China Sea. Does Xi Jinping get the message, Mary? What is your measure of him in that handshake? Does he understand that he has limits?
Xi Jinping has been very clear. He wants Taiwan. And by the way, it's incorrect to say he wants to take back Taiwan because the Communist Party never ran it. It is a self-functioning democracy and has been since the end of World War II. So, rather, democracy came a bit later for Taiwan, but it's been functioning independently from the mainland since the end of the war. I don't think that any Chinese leader, communist leader, has thought that the U.S. would be hands-off in a conflict. So I'm not sure that their calculation has changed very much. What has changed is Biden has said forthrightly that we would defend the island. So he's just, I think, confirmed what Beijing already thought. But Biden, as we've just discussed, has also softened the stance toward Beijing. Here's another example. The president said he wanted transnational cooperation with China on several issues, but there's no evidence that there is. I mean, this is a country that killed millions of people by mishandling a virus out of Wuhan, so it disrupts public health around the world. It disrupts the stability of developing nations with its punitive debt financing. Kenya, by the way, just released terms of one of those deals that was struck several years ago. It's absolutely shocking. It disrupts the international order via support for Putin's war. I mean, there is no cooperation with this country. It doesn't want cooperation with us. If you want detente with China, you have to have both sides wanting it, and they don't. And Xi has been clear. He wants to take over Taiwan, period. And he's preparing for that. And we need to deter him. Now is the time for deterrence. Now is not the time to be talking about a cooperation that is non-existent.
And on trade, Mary, the Chinese economy is badly damaged by poor policy decisions, not the least of them being the zero COVID. And the U.S. has been very aggressive these last weeks about trade and what will not happen unless China mends its ways. I'm looking at the qualifications about semiconductors to China or American citizens working in China on semiconductor technology. Is Xi Jinping prepared to solve that problem by making concessions?
Oh, I'm sure he wants those measures lifted. It's a death blow to their semiconductor industry, their AI industry, you name it. I mean, our semiconductor designs power their the development of their tech industry. So it's a huge blow. I mean, in that respect, that is the one really strong thing that the president has done. We should give him credit for that. And I hope that he doesn't roll it back. But it's not as if we did this just out of the blue. We did it because we saw the People's Liberation Army developing technology using big data and AI that is aimed squarely at us, because we saw them using that technology to help commit genocide and crimes against humanity against the Uyghurs. It was something that both Republicans and Democrats agree on. So, it's a strange time, John, because you have this White House that wants to conciliate, but at the same time sees behavior that they feel, at least in one respect, that they have to respond to. It's almost as if they want to pretend that we can get to a status quo, which when the other side is just intent on disrupting it. So, we can do these half measures all we want. And other countries want half measures too, like the new Australian government. They too are, taking a softer line on China. But at the end of the day, reality is going to set in. And I think we ought to listen, to leaders, for instance, in our military, who are very concerned that Xi Jinping could launch an attack on Taiwan sooner rather than later.
Xi Jinping, early in the conflict in Ukraine, declared his alliance with Moscow. Does China regret that, Mary? Is that a weakness that China has demonstrated?
Well, I don't know if any of these relationships are based on feelings, John. I think they're based on cold calculation of national interest. And it is in Communist China's national interest to have the Western world distracted by helping Ukraine fight Putin. It helps them to have our leadership start to argue about the necessity of those supplies, it helps them to take our political leaders' attention away from everything that China is doing, be it in the Asia-Pacific or within our borders here in the United States. So, you know, whether or not they regret it, I don't know, but they certainly haven't stopped buying Russian energy. They certainly haven't stopped the trade flows. They certainly haven't helped us in the United Nations on, you know, any sort of denunciations for what that's worth. I think that Xi Jinping is sitting on top of a declining economy. He sees discontent. He's going to crack down on that. And he is pushing forward aggressively with his ultimate goal, which is to become the greatest communist leader since Mao, and to do that through territorial conquest.
Mary Kissel, the executive vice president of Stevens Incorporated, former senior advisor to the Secretary of State, and before that, many years in Asia, East Asia and Hong Kong for the Wall Street Journal. We're going to turn to the Russian conflict now. There's much news there following President Zelensky's G20 speech remotely, and also remarks about the next battle and the next battle as winter approaches. I'm John Batten.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.